Yesterday on this program, we heard about how the original GI Bill helped 8 million veterans of World War II go to college and on to bigger things.
14 Nobel Prize winners went to school on the GI Bill. 3 Supreme Court justices, 3 presidents, about a dozen senators.
Today, we're going to talk about how the GI Bill serves veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We called Paul Rykoff. He's executive director of the advocacy group Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, we know that one of the benefits of being in the military these days is that college is paid for. I guess the question is, how much is paid for, and maybe how does it compare to the GI Bill?
I think the reality is that the GI Bill is not our grandfather's GI Bill. Over the last 50 years, the value of military educational benefits has dropped significantly. After contributing about $1,200 to $1,800 from their first military paycheck, troops receive roughly a total of $45,000 towards their education. That sounds like a lot, but right now that only covers about 60 to 70% of the average cost at a four-year public college or university. Typical private colleges, GI benefits won't even pay for 2 years. So many soldiers and veterans are forced to either take on a ton of debt, live on mom's couch, or attend a lower-rated school in order to pay for their education.
Well, of course, we have to remember the context, which is the GI Bill was paying for millions of Americans who spent years in World War II. Have times changed? I mean, should the military at this point in time do what it did, be expected to pay for 4 years at, say, Harvard?
Well, they should if they want to properly honor the service of the folks who are serving. And also, I would argue, they need to go to that level again if they want to have a ready army and a high-quality army. The GI Bill is probably one of our most effective recruiting tools. So beyond the educational benefits for the individual, it really helps us tremendously with retention, recruiting, and other elements of our readiness as a military.
Let's talk specifics here. There's proposed legislation now to deal with some of these problems, including one bill from Senator Jim Webb of Virginia. Of course, he's a veteran of Vietnam. His son is a Marine who has been in Iraq. I take it your organization is pushing for Webb's bill. What would it do in a nutshell?
Absolutely. We are pushing for it. Jim Webb's new GI Bill would do 4 main things. It pays upfront the tuition to public and private schools. It caps at the most expensive public school in the state, so it still doesn't cover private institutions. It would also pay $1,000 a month stipend, but does not include room and board anymore. So this is a really basic way to introduce a new GI Bill. It's definitely not the Cadillac anymore. We've had to pare it down because a lot of folks told us that it was just too expensive.
If the government only has so many resources, what about setting priorities? For instance, should we say, for example, that we need to be more generous with health care for veterans? And that might mean that the government is not able to provide the 4 years of college absolutely free that those who came back from World War II had the advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, I reject that scenario to begin with. I don't think it should ever be an either-or proposition for our veterans. There are plenty of bridges built to nowhere that are incredibly costly that we could compromise to pay for veterans' health care. There are plenty of other pork barrel spending projects in Washington that we can eliminate in order to pay for a young sergeant who's been wounded in combat to go to college. So I think it is about priorities, but I think it ultimately comes down to how much do we value our sons and daughters who are serving in combat.
Paul Rykoff is executive director of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.